So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel.
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Reverend JFK Mensah, a seasoned Bible teacher with over 40 years of ministry experience. He is a pastor, a church planter, a missionary, and an international conference speaker. He is passionate about making Christ-like disciples worldwide. JFK Mensah is the General Overseer of Great Commission Church International. May you be transformed as you listen to the Word of God.
Somewhere, and they used more than 15 minutes to introduce me, and by the time they finished, all my anointing was gone. So the shorter the introduction, the more helpful for all of us. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, how can we ever sound the depths of your amazing love in Jesus Christ? Please help me by your Holy Spirit. Help the listeners online and in person, and open our minds. Let your truths catch fire once again in our lives and in our families forever. In Jesus' name, amen. I can still remember, having gone to Catholic schools all my life, the first time I got to Mfantsfrim, I didn't know any Methodist songs. And then, you know, students, amazing love, how can it? Then I just be saying, can it be that thou, my God, should die for? And, you know, at first, I was like, what's going on? Then I saw myself just weeping, because I could not handle it that my God would die for me. And it began a journey I have not recovered from these 51 years. And I'm glad it happened. Yes. So what we are going to do is, we are working with the theme, shaped by the cross for eternity. Today, we are looking at the past triumphs of the cross. Tomorrow, we will look at the present triumphs of the cross. And then, on Thursday, we will examine the future impact of the cross of Christ. I am glad to say, as part of my sermon, that your church, look at the cross at the top there. Look at the cross in front of your pulpit, the main pulpit, and this one. Christianity is identified by the cross of Christ. It is by far the greatest symbol representing our faith. Muslims cannot handle it, because Islam does not believe that somebody can die for another person. 5 times in the Quran, it says that nobody can take anybody's sin. You have to be responsible for your own sin. So if you notice, Muslims never talk about using blood to wash sin. They use water, but not blood. But in Christianity, Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And there is a departure. In the same way, African traditional religion, our gods, you know, the Tigari, Yebiezo, the all, we appease them by offering them sacrifices. No African god comes to die for us. It's not there in the whole African traditional religion. But Christianity introduces into the world a God who is one God, but three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And tells us that this God is both just, holy, and love, mercy, and grace. So, the Easter story reports what happened about 2,000 years ago on the cross. Today, my job is to bring out the greatest impact of the cross. Number one, God and the cross. Number two, Satan and the cross. Number three, man and the cross. So, first of all, let's look at God and the cross. Why is the cross so important in the economy of God? Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, that when I was among you, I refused to know anything except Christ and Him crucified. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, Paul describes the gospel. He says that the whole gospel is what he received, and that it is Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried according to the scriptures, and he rose on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. That is the gospel. That is the gospel. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, he says, God forbid that I should boast about anything except the cross of Christ. The only thing I boast about is the cross of Christ. And when we talk about the cross, we talk about the death of Jesus, we talk about the blood of Jesus, we talk about the crucifixion of Jesus and the burial of Jesus, even to the resurrection. Because without a death, there cannot be burial. Without a burial, there can be no resurrection. So, how does the cross benefit God? Number one, if you want to speak in human terms, the cross is the only solution to God's holiness and God's justice. If God is a God of love, then he must find a solution to how human beings as sinners can ever be forgiven and made just before a holy God. Now, you need to understand that God's inflexible law, according to Ezekiel 18:4, is that, behold, all souls are mine. The soul that sins shall die. Yes.
Behold, all souls are mine.
Yes.
The soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son, is mine. The soul who sins shall die.
The soul that sins shall die. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. He told Adam in the garden that in the day you eat of the fruit of this tree, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, dying you shall die. You will surely die. Because the holiness of God cannot tolerate sin.
Genesis 2:17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.
We play down God's holiness when we think we can sin and God will just brush his beard and say, oh, boys will be boys. These human beings, don't mind them. They will always sin. There is nothing like that. Sin is an affront to the holiness, the person of God. God says, thou shalt not steal. And you steal. You are telling God that, look, I am bigger than you. You say we shouldn't do it. I'm doing it. Nothing will happen to me today. Nothing will happen tomorrow. I'm sinning. If you like, if you are God, do something and let's see. Anytime any human being sins, that's what you are telling God. Sin is not just a mistake. Sin is flying off in defiance to the King of the universe. That you say we shouldn't do it, I'm doing it. If you like, do what you can. If you have a 4-year rebellious child, mommy says, nobody should touch the fridge. Then he goes to touch it. He says, hey, Kweku. Mommy says, nobody should touch the fridge. Hey, Kweku. Touch it. Touch it. He goes to touch it. He's looking at mommy. Anytime you sin any sin, you are defying God. You are defying the angels. You are defying the whole of heaven, the kingdom of God, all he stands for. You are telling God that you can't do anything to me. Therefore, the day God stops punishing sin, he will die. Because as God, his holiness demands that he must punish sin. And sin is not just rebellion. Sin is saying, I'm going my own way and you better leave me alone. And you are setting yourself up as God in your own territory. And he must fight it. Now, let's talk about the law of God. This world is either governed by God, or is governed by Satan, or is governed by human beings and artificial intelligence. Yes. Either the God of heaven rules, or Satan rules, or men and their engineering rule. So, when you break any of God's laws, they are laws. A law is only a law when it punishes offenders. Otherwise, it's not a law. Otherwise, it's not a law. A law is a law because when you go against the law of gravity, you are the president's daughter. So you jump from the fifth story. You just jump. You say, president's daughter. And nothing happens to you. Then it's not law of gravity. God's moral laws themselves have a power. They carry electricity tension poles of heaven. So when Cain killed Abel, God told him that, look, the earth which opened its mouth to swallow your brother's blood will never give you crops again. You farm and see. When you do something against God's law, he doesn't have to chase you. His law will chase you. Therefore, somebody must be found to meet the demands of God's law. And that person must be sinless. Because if he is also a sinner, then he is part of the problem. This is why in the Old Testament, all the sacrifices are to be without blemish. No spot. And in the New Testament, Hebrews 4:15 says, Jesus was tempted in all things like us, yet without sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who knew no sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5 says, in him is no sin. He came to take away our sins. In him is no sin. And 1 Peter 2:22, he said, he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And these are people who walked and talked and ate with Jesus. So, what the cross did was to provide somebody so that God's anger, God's wrath, God's burning justice to punish humankind for sin could be poured on the person. This is why 1 John chapter 2 verse 2 says, Jesus is our propitiation. Propitiation is a big word, but it means Jesus satisfies God's anger, wrath. You know, there are times when one of the children does something in the house, and I want to hook him or her. And then the mother grabs the person and bam! I say, ah! Because she has done what is on my heart. In the same way, God's anger, God's wrath, God's burning desire to punish human beings for their sin must find a target. And that target was Jesus Christ. This is why he is the appeasement. And he fully satisfied God on that score. But that's not all. Jesus, on God's side, became the point where Jesus could demonstrate to human beings that I love you, but I don't joke with sin. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says, this is how we know love. It's not that we love God. It's God who loved us and gave his son for us. The cross gave heaven the opportunity to demonstrate his love towards us. Most people, when they read the Old Testament, they are like, yeah, this God, you do something, bam, something, pee-pee. Uzzah, he touched the Akama. Sodom and Gomorrah, fire. Noah's generation, flood. The day Nadab and Abihu, they were ordained priests, and they offered a holy fire. Papa, he killed the two of them, brothers. The father wanted to weep. He said, hey, if you weep, back. So he kept quiet. You know, so in the Old Testament, we see God, and we are like, everybody is trembling. But the cross. The cross is the greatest proof that the God of heaven loves you. That he cares. You see? He cares. He cares enough to send his only son to come and die for you. As it were, you know, there are ways as a parent, you want to show your son or daughter you love him or her. And because of the cain, some children actually ask me, the parents, are you my father? Are you my mother? You won't be treating me like this. Why do you cane me like this? So you want to show your love. And you look for small ways to demonstrate that. Look, I am not only cane, I am also love. And God did that in Jesus Christ. He showed human beings that, look, of all the gods you have ever followed, has any been able to die for you? None. This is where Christianity beats every religion in the world. Amazing love. My God dies for me. But there is a third area. That is, the cross of Christ gives him access to bring his sons and daughters home in reconciliation. Acts 20:28, Paul was telling the Ephesian elders that, take heed to yourselves and to the flock of God, which he purchased with his own blood.
Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood.
Yes. The church is a purchase. It's a purchase of people God bought with his own blood. So the cross was the means of bringing sons and daughters back home. It was for God. This is why we read in the first reading that when Jesus died, the Matthew 27:51, the Bible says the veil in the temple was torn. But it was not torn from bottom to the top. It was torn from top to the bottom. Because it's God who tore it, not man. So, he didn't even wait for Jesus to be buried. Can you imagine? God didn't wait for Jesus to be buried. Immediately Jesus died, he tore the veil so that man can have access to the presence of God. In Hebrews chapter 10, let's read from verse 19 all the way to 21.
Hebrews 10:19-21. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest.
We have boldness to enter the holiest.
By the blood of Jesus.
Correct.
By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is his flesh. So, and having a high priest over the house of God.
You know, sometimes, I'm a father, so I understand. Just like the father of the prodigal son. I mean, anytime I'm reading the prodigal son, I get angry with all the people. I'm angry with the prodigal son, you younger son, asking your father to give you your share of the property when he's still alive. What right do you have? Then, the father. for agreeing. And he shared the property, and this guy, he went and groovy, and he wasted the substance. And when he was competing with pigs for food, he came to his senses. The Bible says he came to his senses. And he said, I'm going back to my father. Servants in my father's house cry, they eat proper food. I'm going back. I'm going to tell him I've sinned against him. And when he was a long way away, the father. You see, you don't see somebody when he is a long way away if you have not been watching out for him. And he ran. That old man, by now he must have been old, to run and kill the fatted calf, bring the ring, rope, and then they started music. Then I'm angry with the elder brother. He refused to come to the house. Say, Akwan, this is your son. He took your money and prostitutes, and I've been slaving for you all this time. You are. Have you ever given me a small goat for even my birthday to enjoy? Why am I angry with him? You know, the younger brother left the house. This elder brother has been in the house all these years. But he missed his father's heart. He was in the house, but he didn't have his father's heart. Now, you need to understand that God made man in his image and his likeness and put all things under his feet. Psalm 8, verse 3-8. And when man fell, even the broken image of God in man was able to come up with Tower of Babel. And now they are on the moon and in space. Even the broken image of God. Can you imagine if man were to be performing at top level? So he was actually waiting for his sons and daughters to come back home. So when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't even wait for him to be buried. He tore the veil. He tore the veil. He tore the veil. He tore the veil to open, give access so that we can come boldly into the holiest. Never since the world began has anybody moved into the holiest. Enoch, Noah, Moses, Elijah, Elisha, David, Daniel, nobody before the cross could enter the holiest on your own for peace. No. That intimacy with God came only with the cross. Now, let's take some time to look at the cross and the devil. The cross did three bad things to the devil. The first is that at the cross, Jesus smashed Satan. He overcame Satan and he disarmed principalities and powers. Colossians chapter 2. Let's see whether we can read verse 14 and 15.
Colossians 2, 14 and 15. Yes. Then behold, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers.
He disarmed principalities and powers.
He made a public spectacle of them.
Yes. Drop your gun. Drop your knife. Drop your pistol. Down, everybody. And for the first time since Satan and his principalities and powers invaded this earth, they were disarmed. They were disarmed. The cross disarmed principalities and powers. That's what the Bible says. The cross, and made a public show of the devil. Yes, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. The second thing...
Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil.
You know, the NIV say he might break the power. It's a Greek word, katargeo. And when Jesus died on the cross, he met Satan face to face and fought. And the old time prophecy of Genesis 3:15, that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the devil, it happened on the cross. And he did that so that he could collect from Satan forever the key of death and Hades. That was a second victory that Jesus gave to us. So that now, no juju man, no witch, no Antoine Yama or Mami Wata or can say, I will kill you. They can say it. But if you are in Christ, you just smile. Because small boys are young. The key of death is no longer in the hands of Satan. It's now in the hands of Jesus Christ. He says it in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. He said, fear not, I was dead, I'm alive now. And the key of death and Hades, they are securely in my possession.
I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death.
Now, the third victory we have over Satan is that the blood of Jesus constantly overcomes Satan wherever you meet him. Now, as a pastor, you can't imagine how I'm excited about this. I have never met any human being bound by Satan. And you say the blood of Jesus. And he says, I don't mind. There's nothing like that. It can never happen. It can never happen. Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And it is noteworthy that there was war in heaven. Michael and the archangels were fighting against the dragon, Satan, and his angels. And they tell us that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. It means even in the heavenly places, it's the blood of the Lamb which is the overcoming agent. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says the blood reconciled things on earth and in heaven as well. So, this blood is enough. Say it with me, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Now, finally, let's talk about the cross and man. The cross and man. Why is the cross a triumph for us? Let's start with forgiveness of sins. When you sin against anybody, your father, your mother, your siblings, your teacher, your professor, you sin against anybody, the guilt and condemnation and inferiority complex haunts you. Proverbs 28 verse 1 says, if you are wicked, nobody is chasing you, but you are running. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. You see, the fact that you...
The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion.
So, the guilt, the condemnation that comes because of sin against God, that alone was killing us. That alone was killing us. You see, Adam and Eve, they heard of God in the garden. Then they ran. And then they ran. And they hid themselves. That God who created you and was coming all the time, bringing animals for you to name, now he is coming and you are dodging. The average human being is guilt-laden. These days, the psychologists and all the parapsychologists, they want to tell us that, don't feel guilty. No, you don't need to be ashamed. When you do anything, it doesn't matter. You know, just some paper your conscience and you are okay. It's the blood of Jesus that takes away guilt and condemnation. Because the forgiveness of sin is a reality. It's not a dream. Because in Jesus Christ, God forgave us sin. And the first time I read it, I didn't want to believe it. I had to get up and walk around a little. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. Let's read it and see whether you believe it.
Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. For I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I remember no more.
Wow. Wow. Do you believe it?
Yes, I believe.
Ah, clap for her. Their sins and lawless deeds, I, God, will remember no more. Wow. Wow. It is just because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the cross of Jesus, enables the God of heaven, who is holy, to tell human beings that I'm making a covenant with you. I will be merciful to your iniquities and your sins and iniquities. I will remember no more. Why does 1 John 1:9 say that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins? You know? He says that because what Jesus has done, he has paid for the sin. So he is just to forgive you when you confess. So, we can trust God's forgiveness. We can believe Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It is worth reading. Romans 8, 1.
There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Say no condemnation. No condemnation. No condemnation. No condemnation. You know, I struggled with these things, so I understand very well. I remember when I came to campus, I was doing a fast every evening for 84 days. It was on the 84th day. I was praying in front of Akwafo Hall here, when suddenly, you know, the Holy Spirit dropped this verse into my heart to assure me that you can walk and have no condemnation before God because of the work of Jesus. No condemnation. But what about curses? Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 say that one of the things Jesus did was to become a curse for us on the cross so that we can receive the blessing of Abraham.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.
Now, yes.
That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Now, for most of us in Africa, this verse is a gold mine. Why? Because your mother, your grandmother, your great-grandmother, your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, they entered into covenants with Tigari, covenants with Nana Tungu, Shari Fetish, or Akonedi, or Kondongoli, or which are the Antuanyama. Yes. You see? And when they did that, the spirits entered a contract with them. Now, those are human beings. They died. But the spirits don't die. So, their effects continue in the house. And those curses follow you. And one guy used to come to my house from Kumasi every Saturday. And he never told my wife why he was coming. He was impotent. And that's not something to discuss with my wife. So, now he has three children. And he came to recount to me how many of his uncles are impotent in the house. And he too started that way. So, he heard about Jesus. He heard about deliverance. Then he came to my house. I used Galatians 3:13. We prayed. He went back to Kumasi. He came the next Saturday. We prayed. He went back to Kumasi. He came back the next Saturday. We prayed. He went back. Now he has three children. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Because it is written, curse is anyone who hangs on a pole, on a tree. So Jesus was not beheaded. He wasn't stoned to death. Jesus did not grow old and die. Jesus was hung on a pole, on a tree, to fulfill Deuteronomy 21, 22, and 23. So, because of Jesus, every curse on everybody's life can be broken. It is something he did 2,000 years ago. He became a curse. If there is any curse in your family, in your house, this Easter, you must get up and let it be broken. If you can't break it yourself, get a minister, get a friend, get a team, so that it will be broken. Because it is one of the triumphs of the cross. 2,000 years ago, he won that for us. Then there is justification. Justification is from the law court. It means a judge declares somebody guilty or not guilty. And the Bible says that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He says, Jesus, who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for us.
For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
You know, justification is a long word. Just as if you have never sinned. He who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for you. So that you who are a sinner, a rebel, an enemy of God, will become by the law court of God, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. These are the things which set Christianity and the cross apart from every religion in the world. The Buddhists and the Hindus believe in the law of karma. What you sow, you reap. So even after death, there is a recycle. The law of karma affects you. You come back as a pig or a mosquito. Christianity says God had a stopper. He who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for you, that you will now become the righteousness of God in Christ by the law court of God. Jesus was your substitute. He took your place. And God put your sin, my sin, our sin on him, and took his robe of righteousness and dressed us. And by law, the law of heaven, by the courts of the universe, just like we pronounce you husband and wife, heaven pronounced us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of the work of the cross. This, according to Romans 5:1, we have peace with God because we have been justified by his blood. And Romans 5:1.
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
And because of the justification, now we have peace with God. We can be reconciled to God. We are family members lost. We can come back now as sons and daughters and come back home. And he can put his spirit within us and we can cry, Abba, Father. Let's read that one, Galatians 4. Just read verse 6 and 7.
Yeah, Galatians 4, 6 and 7. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
Okay. Now, let's gather our possessions for this evening. The spiritual realm is more real than the physical realm. Because what we see in the physical realm was created by the unseen force. It's God who said, let there be light. And there was light. So, the physical world has buildings, trees, animals, mountains. The spiritual world is firmer, stronger than the physical world. This is why Jesus could say in Matthew 24:35 that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So, we have property in the spiritual realm. And this evening, we have been talking about them. The triumphs of the cross of Jesus Christ. And I have been trying to put together God and the cross. Through him, we now can see the kind of God we are calling Father. That he is not just holy, he is also love. And he demonstrates it. Through the cross, God solves the problem of holiness, justice, and grace and love meeting together on the cross. Because of the cross, we can have access into the presence of our Father God. Then we have seen the cross and Satan. We have seen that at the cross, Jesus crushed the head of Satan. Jesus broke the power of Satan. Jesus took the keys of death and hell from Satan. And the blood of Jesus is an all-time Satan overcomer. So even when Jesus was on the earth, he didn't use his blood, just his name. And the 12 apostles, the 70, they came back and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. He said, you haven't seen anything. You haven't seen anything. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing, 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 nothing shall by any means hurt you. Eternal defeat of Satan has been given us. But with us, human beings, the cross gave us forgiveness. The cross broke the power of sin over our lives. The cross, for once, gave us the ground to stand and break every family curse, personal curse, generational curse that is working against us. The cross has given us confidence, boldness, and taken condemnation and guilt, inferiority complex, and trepidation, fear of death, out of our lives. The cross of Jesus Christ has given us, inalienable right for God's Spirit to dwell in our hearts and to call God Abba Father. These are victories. 2,000 years. Now, let me tell you, we are going to get up to pray. When we stand up and we are praying, you don't need the preacher to teach you how to pray. You yourself, as you listen to the message, you must understand which areas you need to get up and start moving around. Sometimes I do that. I read some things from the Bible and I just get up. And then I walk and I say, wow, 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 wow. So this evening, I have told you the victories of 2,000 years and the triumphs of his grace and the cross. I want us to be on our feet, if you can get on your feet, and take hold of any area of the victory we have in Christ. And don't just say it once or twice. You need to steep yourself in these, because they are spiritual truths and they must find a place, a conviction in your conscience, and they must be part of the words you are saying, and they must rule the way you think, bringing every thought in captivity. Yes, and make you see the difference it should make. The fact that you are in Christ should be a difference at the office, at home, in school, wherever you go. Shall we begin to talk to the Lord? We begin to thank him for the cross. Thank him for the blood of Jesus. Thank him, yes, for the crucifixion, the gory details of Jesus' death. Yes, begin to talk. Yes, and the benefits, the importance of the death, the cross, the victories, the triumphs of the cross, begin to stand upon them. Yes, victory over Satan, victory over curses and demons. Yes, over sin, forgiveness of sin, your sins and iniquities. God says, I will remember no more. Yes, the victories, the triumphs. Yes, in the courts of God, you can be called a child of God. The reality of the love of God and the holiness of God, the justice of God. Yes, meet at the cross of Christ, the cross of Christ, redemption in the cross, the victory in the cross. Yes, because of the blood, your curses can be broken. Every curse upon your life can be broken, can be destroyed. Yes, the power of sin on your life can be shattered by the cross, by the cross, by the cross. Yes, the blood of Jesus washes your conscience, cleanses you, makes a difference in your life. Yes, yes, yes. In the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the name, the triumphs Kianda baka kakianda, sheka kianda la baga. Yes, the cross put sin away. Yes, forever in his presence and made you the righteousness of God in Christ. This cross, this cross, this cross, this cross, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Yes, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been crucified. Yes, yes, yes. Setting you free, loosening you, breaking every chain over your life. Yes, yes. Kianda ba kashega gugiga ma kianda. Because of the cross, because of the cross, you can have total forgiveness, total forgiveness, total forgiveness. The cross, the cross, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Their sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. You know, no more. Your sins can be forgiven. Your sicknesses can be healed. Yes, you can walk in freedom. Yes, the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross. Yes, 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 Lord. Thank you.
Just for me, amazing grace at the cross, at the cross, my Savior died, shed his blood, was crucified. Just for me, he gave his life at the cross. At the cross, my debt was paid. Cross, my Savior died at the cross. My Savior died, shed his blood, was crucified just for me. He gave his life. Just for me, just for me, he gave his life at the cross.
Oh, I can see the love in your...
Follow JFK Mensa Ministries on Facebook and YouTube and invite others to listen to his podcast. You can also access some of JFK Mensa's books and keep up with his ministry at www.jfkmensaministries.org. God bless you.